Good morning, Ava. It is Monday, July 20th, 2026, and today's morning signal is about a risk investors often file in the wrong drawer, policy and institutional execution. The big idea is that developed markets can now carry risks we used to associate mostly with emerging markets.
Good morning, Guy. Before we unpack that, today's written podcast brief checked 34 podcasts and found 2 episodes with confirmed timestamps inside the strict prior 24-hour window. Both had full public YouTube auto-caption transcripts matched to RSS-confirmed episodes. The brief did not independently re-underwrite the podcast claims against filings, clinical evidence, legal records, or live market data, so we will preserve that boundary.
Let us start with capital allocators. In Senior Decision Makers, Luis Laboy, Hewlett Foundation, Laboy told the show that geopolitical risk, political uncertainty, social polarization, policy risk, and changing market structure no longer cleanly separate emerging markets from developed ones. That is not just a geography point. It changes how you build a portfolio.
Capital allocators said Hewlett's sequence begins with the opportunity set, not with a famous manager or a fixed asset class label. Laboy described gaining conviction in the opportunity, deciding which asset class and strategy best express it, and only then selecting the manager. The process must adapt when the opportunity set changes.
Capital allocators used Japan as the practical example. Laboy said a technical breakout caught the team's attention, but Hewlett did country research and manager research before investing. His first instinct was to buy big, while CIO Anna Marshall slowed him down with a whole portfolio perspective. Price action opened the research gate, it did not become the thesis.
Capital allocators, therefore, supports a useful distinction. A breakout can be a discovery signal, but sizing still requires a mechanism, manager fit, and a portfolio-level risk budget. The written brief labels the confirmation test as fundamental improvement following the price signal. The falsification test is a breakout with no support from earnings, policy, or capital flows.
Right, and that is a much better use of technicals than pretending a chart can explain the future. Capital allocators also said Hewlett had concentrated a mature roster of strong public equity managers, but the resulting quality hurdle made it difficult to add new relationships. A successful core had started to freeze the opportunity set.
Capital allocators said Laboy's answer was a separate, next-generation allocation. Hewlett kept the underlying quality hurdle high, but lowered the initial confidence and position size requirements so newer managers could prove themselves. He framed the choice as exploit versus explore, maximize what is already known while maintaining enough velocity of new ideas.
Capital allocators did not endorse uncontrolled manager proliferation. The point was a concentrated core plus a deliberately smaller exploration sleeve. The written brief flags the failure mode clearly. If next-generation managers own the same companies or depend on the same economic drivers as the core, a larger roster is not genuine diversification.
Capital allocators also separated manager quality from portfolio fit. Laboy said Hewlett maintains manager-specific kill lists and key debates, borrowing the pre-commitment concept from Annie Duke's book Quit. The goal is to redeem for a fundamental reason, not because a weak trailing return creates emotional pressure.
Capital allocators said even a talented manager can leave when the institution's opportunity set view changes and that strategy no longer provides what the portfolio needs. Laboy also warned that quality is too vague unless a manager defines it. Otherwise, the allocator supplies a private definition and later sees contradictions that the manager never intended.
The written podcast brief turns that capital allocator's discussion into a concrete mandate design. Define each manager as expected source of excess return, the environment in which the strategy should lag, the role it plays in the total portfolio, and the observable condition that ends the mandate. That makes weak performance interpretable instead of automatically alarming.
Capital allocators included one vivid career anecdote, but it is historical, not a current trade. Early at Everest Capital, Laboy backed a Brazil option structure that needed about a 20% market gain in 2 months for a 5-to-1 payout. He said the market rose about 23%, helping take him from near dismissal to partner within 12 months.
Capital allocators also contrasted the year-to-year pressure of Laboy's hedge fund seat with an endowment environment where a CIO could imagine someone staying in a role for 10 years. The implication is not that long horizons remove discipline. They change which mistakes the organization is structurally able to tolerate while an idea develops.
Now let us bring in the second source. The indicator from Planet Money, in why doesn't the U.S. have better sunscreen? supplied a micro case of the same policy risk problem.
The episode said the United States had gone roughly 3 decades without broadly approving a new sunscreen active ingredient, even while newer ingredients were used abroad.
The indicator said entrepreneurs Charlotte Palermino and leaders from DSM Firmenich described clinical work involving nearly 500 participants, at least $18 million of company spending, lobbying, and 2 rounds of legislation before the ingredient transcribed as bemetrizinol gained approval in June 2026.
The indicator's mechanism was institutional, not scientific novelty alone.
The episode said the United States regulates sunscreen as a drug rather than a cosmetic, so the sponsor needed domestic evidence of safety and efficacy.
An ingredient used internationally did not automatically become a commercial U.S. product.
The indicator also described a long commercialization chain, scientific validity, admissible evidence, regulatory approval, scaled formulation and manufacturing, and finally consumer adoption. Palermino said her company had worked on formulas for years in anticipation of approval. The slowest unresolved handoff, not the technology announcement, determines when cash flow can begin.
Put capital allocators and the indicator together and you get the day's top story.
Developed market policy risk is not an abstract discount rate.
It can delay a product, strand capital, change market access, or reward the companies and managers that build regulatory execution into their operating model.
The written brief labels the investment conclusion as TIF inference. Investors should treat regulatory execution, technical evidence generation, and supply chain readiness as parts of the moat, especially in healthcare, consumer products, financials, energy, and industrial technology. The moat only matters if it produces measurable speed to market, share, or return on capital advantages.
The indicator also gave public health figures, but we should keep the attribution attached. The episode cited more than 5 million U.S. skin cancer diagnoses annually, daily sunscreen use by only about 13% of Americans, and lifetime incidence near 1 in 5 by age 70.
The written brief says those figures were not independently verified.
The indicator said the approval burden itself can create a two-sided investment effect. Regulatory fixed costs can entrench scaled incumbents that can fund evidence generation, but they can also strand money for years. Approval can unlock a market, yet it does not eliminate formulation, capacity, labeling, retail adoption, consumer price, or repeat use risk.
So approval is the catalyst, not the terminal value.
That is the key modeling discipline from the indicator.
If an analyst capitalizes approval as immediate scaled revenue, the model skips every commercial handoff that still has to work.
Let us shift to technology and AI, still anchored in capital allocators. LeBoy did not pitch a discrete AI security trade. His stronger point was that the old distinction between tech and the rest of the world is becoming obsolete. Old economy companies will increasingly differentiate themselves by how they apply technology.
Capital allocators said managers therefore need to understand each company's technology stack alongside regulation, policy, macro, geopolitics, and value chain risk.
That turns AI from a sector label into a cross-sector underwriting variable.
The written podcast brief converts that capital allocator's point into better diligence questions. Do not stop at whether a company uses AI. Ask where it changes throughput, labor intensity, pricing, error rates, working capital, or customer switching costs, what data and integration rights the company owns, and whether the spending produces a measurable return.
Capital allocators offered only a light personal AI example. LeBoy said he used AI to build a Formula One reading list. The episode supplied no enterprise adoption data, return on investment data, named company metrics, model benchmarks, infrastructure spending, pricing, or AI revenue.
Today's thin tape cannot support an AI security call.
Exactly.
The written brief says the AI view would be confirmed if adopters show durable unit cost, cycle time, or revenue per employee improvement. It would be falsified if pilots remain incremental overhead or if any efficiency advantage is immediately competed away. That is much more demanding than collecting management mentions of AI.
The indicator adds a technology commercialization lesson from a different industry. New science does not become revenue until the evidence is admissible, the regulator agrees, manufacturing is ready, and customers adopt. That sequence applies far beyond sunscreen. The launch forecast should start with the bottleneck, not with the press release.
Now to geopolitics and policy. The indicator explained the FDA's caution as a trade-off between visible safety and invisible delay costs. The episode said the agency had previously found sunscreen applications lacked sufficient safety information and cited outside experts who supported its evidence standards.
The indicator featured economist Alex Tabarrok arguing that the FDA is systematically too risk-averse. His concept was an invisible graveyard: harms prevented by caution are visible, while illness and deaths caused by delayed access are harder to see. He advocated automatic U.S. approval when a stringent peer regulator has already approved a drug or device.
The indicator also presented the strongest counterexample. The host said thalidomide was rejected by the FDA but approved elsewhere, contributing to more than 10,000 babies being born with birth defects. Tabarrok still argued that excessive caution caused greater harm overall, but the written brief correctly calls that a contested policy judgment, not an established fact.
The narrower investable point from the indicator is stronger than the ideological debate. Regulators face asymmetric political consequences. A harmful approval is vivid and attributable, the benefit lost through delay is diffuse. That means approval timing reflects institutional incentives as well as scientific evidence.
The indicator identified two legislative steps. The 2020 CARES Act created a more streamlined pathway for sunscreen ingredients, and a 2025 law broadened the forms of safety and efficacy evidence the FDA could accept. Palomino worked with Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez on advocacy.
The indicator also said Senator Ted Cruz separately introduced a broader proposal to fast-track products approved in peer countries, but it had not gained much traction. That is a useful reminder that bipartisan attention does not make policy pathways identical. Different coalitions can agree on the problem while disagreeing on the mechanism.
Back to capital allocators, LaBoy S. Develop versus emerging market point broadens the policy lens. Country labels are no longer sufficient risk controls when social polarization, regulation, geopolitical exposure, and technology adoption can differ sharply across companies inside the same market.
The written brief S. Confirmation conditions combine both podcasts. Watch for more cross-country policy divergence that changes product availability, unit economics, or market access, and for widening performance dispersion between companies with and without regulatory and technical infrastructure.
The written brief S. falsification conditions are equally clear. The view weakens if rapid international harmonization removes approval and market access gaps, or if regulatory capability fails to create measurable advantages in launch timing, share, or returns. A complicated process is not a moat merely because it is complicated.
Let us tie the cross currents together. Capital allocators rejected static portfolio checklists when technology, policy, and market structure are changing. The indicator showed a regulatory architecture designed for caution, creating a multi-decade gap while the international product set evolved. Both are examples of path dependence.
The written podcast brief describes the common mechanism as rules calibrated to the last regime suppressing adaptation in the next one. That does not mean rules are useless. It means a resilient system needs explicit review points and evidence that triggers a change.
The second cross-current is my favorite. Capital allocators gave us manager kill lists, pre-committed evidence that forces an exit. The indicator gave us the mirror image error through the invisible graveyard, the opportunities never approved or initiated because caution had no forcing function.
The written brief S. TIF inference is that investment committees need both lists. One list states the conditions that force an exit. The other states the evidence threshold that forces reconsideration of a rejected opportunity. Without the second list, caution can become an unmeasured active bet.
That is uncomfortable because doing nothing feels neutral. But capital allocators and the indicator both show that it is not. Keeping an incumbent manager forever, or preserving an approval system after the opportunity set changes, embeds a decision even when nobody votes again.
The third cross-current is process capability. Capital allocators said LaBoy evaluates coherence among a manager's philosophy, emotional makeup, process, and strategy instead of accepting labels such as quality. The indicator offered the corporate analog: patient capital, clinical execution, lobbying, and formulation work had to stay coherent across years.
The written brief adds the necessary skepticism. Process capability becomes a moat only when it converts into an outcome: lower time to decision, higher approval probability, better unit economics, or superior realized returns. Process complexity without conversion is overhead.
There is also an absence signal. Neither capital allocators nor the indicator supplied current earnings revisions, live asset price levels, or audited company-specific AI returns. Today's useful signals concern portfolio design and regulatory market structure. They should improve research and monitoring, not trigger a standalone security trade.
Let us finish with what we are watching. First, the indicator plans a live U.S. housing question and answer session with Redfin chief economist Daryl Fairweather on July 23, 2026, at 3 p.m. Eastern. The written brief says to listen for transaction volume, affordability, inventory, and regional price signals.
Second, the indicator makes the next 1 to 2 quarters important for the newly approved sunscreen ingredient. Watch for first U.S. product launches, formulation readiness, price premium, retailer placement, and whether improved texture actually increases daily use adherence. Approval without adoption would expose the commercial gap.
Third, the indicator points us toward the next public FDA implementation updates. The question is whether the 2025 evidence changes shorten other sunscreen reviews or whether this approval remains a one-off that required extraordinary sponsor spending.
Fourth, capital allocators gives global equity allocators a diligence test. At the next manager reviews, ask so-called quality managers to specify technology stack, policy, regulatory, and value chain exposures at the holding level. Generic labels would falsify the claim that the manager is underwriting disruption.
Fifth, capital allocators gives us a behavioral test during the next style drawdown. Compare Hewlett's kill list logic with actual decisions. Expected factor underperformance should not trigger redemption. Process drift or a broken opportunity set fit should.
And across both capital allocators and the indicator, watch whether policy divergence changes unit economics or market access, whether regulatory execution creates measurable commercial advantage, and whether companies can translate technology into durable operational metrics. Those are the rate of change signals that would move today's process discussion toward investable evidence.
So the Monday takeaway is simple. Capital allocators says dynamic opportunity sets demand dynamic portfolio rules. The indicator says innovation is only as valuable as the institutional pathway that lets it reach the customer. In both cases, policy competence is an operating capability, not background scenery.
And the discipline is symmetrical. Write down what makes you exit, and write down what forces you to reconsider something you rejected. That is how a risk system protects against both visible losses and invisible missed opportunities.
That is it for Morning Signal on Monday, July 20th, 2026. Keep the process adaptive, keep the evidence boundary visible, and do not confuse a catalyst with terminal value.
We will be back with the next sourced briefing. Have a good morning.